All right, let's dive deep into this infrastructure as code stuff, or IaC as I keep seeing it.
Yeah, IaC.
So much to unpack here, but you've obviously done a ton of research already.
Definitely been digging in.
I mean, I know you know the basics.
Right.
So let's skip all that, you know, intro stuff and jump right into like the good stuff.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Now, one thing that really stood out to me was your look into Terraform and Ansible.
Yeah.
These seem to be like the big players in the IaC world.
Yeah, for sure.
So like from your research and just from your overall experience, what are like the big differences between those two?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, and it's kind of like you're building a skyscraper.
Okay.
And so Terraform is like that brilliant architect who's going to design like every little detail. You tell them, this is what I want, like the final state, and they're going to go and make a plan to make it happen.
Okay.
Ansible, on the other hand, is like your foreman. Who's going to actually execute those plans and like orchestrate each step?
So with Terraform, you're describing the, what, like the end goal, and it figures out the how.
Exactly.
And Ansible is more about defining that how.
Yeah, the step-by-step.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah, and, you know, each approach has its pros and cons, right?
Of course, yeah.
Terraform, that declarative style, it's super powerful when you're dealing with really complex infrastructure.
Makes sense.
While Ansible, because it's so procedural, it really shines when you need to automate a bunch of tasks.
Okay, so different tools for different jobs, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I'm already starting to see how those differences would play out in the real world.
Right.
But before we get into those specifics, what are some of those golden rules? You know, those best practices of IaC that everyone should be following, no matter what tools they're using.
Well, one of the most important, and I know this was highlighted in that Lauren Smith article you shared.
Yes.
Is version control.
Ah, good old version control.
You got to use it for your IAC files.
So just like we don't write software without Git, we shouldn't manage infrastructure code without it either.
Exactly. It's like having a time machine for your whole infrastructure.
Wait, so you're saying if things go wrong, I can literally rewind to a previous state?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that sounds incredibly powerful, especially when you're making changes to complex systems.
Oh, for sure. And it's not just about recovering from mistakes either, right?
Right.
Version control lets you collaborate. It lets you track all the changes and understand how your infrastructure has changed over time.
So it's like a safety net and a history book all rolled into one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I'm guessing branching strategies are also super important in this context.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to be able to test your changes before they go live, right?
Right.
Without risking breaking anything in your production environment.
Exactly. Branching lets you experiment, validate your code without causing any disruptions.
It's like having a staging area where you can practice your performance before the big show.
Exactly.
I like that.
I like that too.
Now, speaking of best practices, I'm really curious about this concept of modular design that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
What's the big deal about breaking down IAC into smaller, reusable chunks?
Okay, so imagine trying to build a house, but you only have this one giant blueprint.
Okay.
It would be overwhelming.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Total nightmare, right, right. Yeah. So modular design in IAC is kind of like taking that blueprint and breaking it down into manageable pieces.
Okay.
It's like those Legos.
Ah, I love Legos.
Where you've got these smaller pieces you can reuse, and you can combine them in tons of different ways to create different structures.
So it's not just about making the code easier to read. It's about building flexibility into your infrastructure from the ground up.
Exactly.
I love that analogy.
And when you combine modularity with version control.
Yeah.
Now you've got some real power.
Okay.
You can reuse modules across projects, track their changes, and basically create this library of building blocks for anything you need.
That sounds incredibly efficient.
It is.
Now, I know you're also really into how IAC works with different environments.
Yeah.
You know, like development, testing, production.
Right.
Can you explain why that's so important?
Okay, so think of it like a play.
Okay.
You wouldn't rehearse on the main stage, right?
No, definitely not.
You'd have your rehearsal space, then a dress rehearsal, and then finally opening night.
Right.
Multiple environments in IAC work the same way.
Uh-huh.
They let you isolate changes, test thoroughly, and then promote to production with confidence.
So development is our rehearsal space. Testing is dress rehearsal. And production is the big opening night.
Exactly.
And IAC is kind of like the stage manager orchestrating that whole flow.
I like that.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's about reducing risks, preventing those unintended consequences.
Of course.
And making sure your infrastructure changes roll out smoothly, and predictably.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, while IEC offers so many benefits,
right,
you also have to be aware of some common pitfalls.
Right. Oh, pitfalls, yes. I'm all ears.
There are
some big ones out there.
You're sure. I'm sure we can learn from those.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some of the big ones to watch out for?
Well, this one's a biggie, and I know Mike Thompson talks about this in his article. You can't hard code sensitive data.
Oh, right, right. Like API keys, passwords, database credentials.
Exactly.
You should never embed those directly into your code.
No, never.
Because imagine this. Your IAC repository with all those blueprints falls into the wrong hands.
Oh.
And there it is, right in the code, all your secrets, just ripe for the taking.
Yeah, that's a security nightmare just waiting to happen.
Exactly.
And that's why it's so crucial to use secrets management tools.
Right.
Things like HashiCorp Vault, AWS Secrets Manager.
Mm-hmm.
They are built to keep that sensitive information safe.
Yeah.
So you can reference it in your IAC without actually exposing the values.
So it's like having this separate vault.
For all your valuables, you know they're safe. You can access them when you need them, but they're not just out in the open.
Exactly.
Much better approach.
Much better.
And speaking of potential pitfalls, what about resource dependencies?
Yeah, those are important.
When you're building out your infrastructure,
yeah,
different components often rely on each other.
Right.
So we need to make sure we're accounting for those dependencies.
Yeah, it's like trying to bake a cake without first getting all your ingredients together.
Right. You end up with a half-baked disaster.
A total mess.
Yeah, exactly.
So for example, let's say you're setting up a web server and it needs to connect to a database.
Right.
You can't launch the web server before the database is up and running.
Oh, of course not. That would be like trying to frost a cake before you've even baked it.
Exactly.
You'd end up with a very frustrated web server frantically searching for its database buddy.
That's a great way to put it.
So we need to pay close attention to the order in which we create and configure things.
Yes. And the good news is IEC tools like Terraform have built-in ways to manage these dependencies.
Okay, so they can make sure that everything happens in the right order.
Right. You define those relationships in your code, and the tool handles all the orchestration.
So Terraform is like our master baker, making sure all the ingredients are in place at the right time.
I like that analogy.
Okay, so that brings me to another question. How do we make sure our infrastructure stays in sync with our IEC code over time?
Right. That's where you get configuration drift.
Configuration drift. Okay.
It's when your actual infrastructure no longer matches your IAC code.
So it's like you've meticulously planned out your dream house.
Right.
But then someone starts making unauthorized changes, moving walls, changing the plumbing.
Yeah. So your perfectly organized blueprint is no longer accurate.
Yeah, that sounds like it would lead to confusion and problems down the line.
Big time.
So how do we prevent this drift?
Well, you've got tools like Terraform State Management and AWS Config. They can detect those discrepancies between your desired state and the actual state.
So it's like having an inspector who regularly checks your house to make sure everything conforms to the blueprint.
That's a good way to think about it.
Very reassuring.
Yes.
Speaking of keeping things in sync,
yeah.
You've also been looking into how IAC works with containerization.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty cool combo.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, you've got IAC handling the provisioning of the underlying infrastructure.
Right.
While containerization technologies like Docker and Kubernetes, they package and manage your applications.
So IAC builds the foundation and containerization puts up the walls and adds the finishing touches?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. It makes it so much easier to adapt and evolve our infrastructure over time.
It does.
Now, I have to admit, Kubernetes has always sounded a little mysterious to me.
Oh, yeah. It can be a bit intimidating at first.
Can you break it down a bit? Explain what it is and why it's so important in this context?
Sure. So think of Kubernetes as this super talented orchestra conductor. It manages this cluster of servers, deciding where to place your applications, making sure they have the resources they need, keeping everything running smoothly, even if a server fails.
Wow. So it's like an automatic stage manager that makes sure the show goes on no matter what.
Exactly. It's pretty awesome.
But managing Kubernetes itself can get pretty complex, right?
Oh, yeah. It can be a lot to handle manually.
So is that where IEC comes in?
That's exactly where IEC comes in. With IAC tools like Terraform, you can define your entire Kubernetes cluster and its configuration in code, making it repeatable and scalable, much easier to manage.
So it's like having a detailed script for our stage manager.
Yeah.
To set up the stage, position the musicians, and ensure the orchestra performs flawlessly.
Precisely.
I like that.
I do too.
Okay, so we've got IAC building our infrastructure, Docker packaging our applications into these containers.
Right.
And then Kubernetes orchestrating it all.
Yeah.
How does this tie into the world of CI/CD pipelines?
Oh, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
CI/CD stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Delivery.
Right.
It's all about automating the process of building, testing, and deploying software.
Hmm. So instead of manually deploying updates to our infrastructure, we can integrate IAC into those automated workflows.
Yeah, it's like having a house that updates itself automatically.
Amazing.
Can you imagine?
It would be amazing.
So cool, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right, so let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say you're working on a new feature for your web app.
Okay.
As you write code, your CI/CD pipeline automatically runs tests.
Right.
Builds your application, packages it up into a container.
Got it.
But it doesn't stop there.
Okay.
Using IAC, the pipeline can also update your infrastructure to accommodate that new feature.
Oh, wow.
Like provisioning new servers, configuring load balancers, updating security settings.
And all this happens automatically. That's incredible.
I know, right?
So it's not just about deploying the application code. It's about deploying the infrastructure that supports the code as well.
Precisely.
That's a game changer.
It is.
So what are some of the tools that make this CI/CD magic happen?
Oh, you've got a lot of options. Yeah. Things like Jenkins, GitHub Actions, GitLab CI/CD, they can orchestrate these complex workflows, and they integrate with your IAC tools like Terraform to automate everything.
So we're talking about building, testing, deploying both our code and our infrastructure.
All of it.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. But I'm starting to see the power of combining IAC, containerization, and CI/CD.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Like creating this self-adapting, self-healing ecosystem for our applications.
It is. And as we move towards more complex cloud-native architectures,
right,
these practices become even more important.
Makes sense.
For managing all that complexity, making sure things are reliable, and keeping up with innovation.
Okay, before we wrap up this part of our dive, I want to hear some final tips from those experts you've been learning from.
Sure.
What words of wisdom will help us on our IAC journey?
Well, Lauren Smith, she really emphasized continuous learning.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
This world of IAC, it's always evolving, so you got to stay up to date.
Yeah, we've seen how much the technology landscape has changed just in the past few years.
Definitely.
What else stood out to you?
Mike Thompson, he made a point that really resonated with me.
Okay.
Don't automate just for the sake of automation.
Right, right.
It has to add value.
So automation with a purpose.
Exactly.
Not just because it's the cool thing to do.
Right.
What other nuggets of wisdom did you find?
Priya Patel, she talked about testing and validation.
Oh, yeah. That's important.
Most IAC tools let you preview changes before you actually apply them.
Hmm.
It's like being able to walk through your house before you move in.
I like that analogy.
To make sure everything is where it should be and working properly.
Yeah, like a virtual walkthrough of your infrastructure.
Skeptically.
Catching any potential issues before they become real problems.
Yeah.
Very important.
Very important.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. Jason Park, he stressed the importance of collaboration.
Collaboration.
You know, IAC impacts everyone, not just the developers.
Right. Security teams, operations teams, stakeholders.
Yeah, all of them. So clear communication is crucial.
So it's about bringing everyone together.
Yeah.
Around this shared vision of well-designed, automated, and secure infrastructure.
Exactly.
Sounds like there's a lot to think about as we embark on this IAC adventure.
There is, but it's exciting stuff.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So what are some key takeaways you think will be especially helpful?
Well, for me, one of the biggest takeaways is that IAC is not just about the technology itself.
Okay.
It's a mindset shift.
I like that.
It's about thinking about infrastructure as code, something you can version control, test, automate, and continuously improve.
So it's about bringing those software development principles.
Yeah.
Into the world of infrastructure management.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a powerful idea.
It is. And as we continue exploring IAC, we'll see how this shift leads to more agility, reliability, and innovation.
This has been an amazing start to our deep dive.
I agree.
I'm already feeling so much more informed and inspired.
I'm glad to hear it. There's so much more to explore.
I can't wait.
It's going to be good. It's kind of cool how IAC principles are like reaching beyond just those traditional servers and networks.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I've mostly thought about IAC in the context of setting up those virtual machines, configuring cloud services.
Yeah, yeah.
So what other areas are like ready for this kind of transformation?
Well, think about all the other pieces in like a modern application.
Okay.
You got databases, message queues, monitoring systems, even security policies.
Right. All those things need to work together perfectly for our applications to actually function.
Exactly. And usually, managing all of that involves a ton of manual configuration, clicking through interfaces.
Right, right.
Hoping you didn't miss a step.
Yeah, so much room for error.
Totally. But what if we used IAC for all of that, too?
So instead of manually setting up a database, for example,
right,
we could define all its settings, users, permissions, all in code.
Exactly. And just like with our infrastructure code,
yeah,
we could version control those configurations, test them in different environments, automate the deployment.
That would streamline things so much.
Right.
It would eliminate so much room for human error.
Definitely.
And make managing those complex systems so much easier.
Absolutely. And we're already starting to see tools and frameworks pop up that extend IAC into these new areas.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, for example, there are some tools specifically designed to manage database schema changes as code.
Okay.
So your database structure evolves in a controlled and predictable way.
That's incredible.
I know, right? It's pretty awesome.
So it sounds like the potential for IAC is just starting to be realized.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As more of our technology stack becomes codified, I guess you could say, we're going to see even more benefits in terms of efficiency, consistency, and collaboration across teams.
For sure.
This is exciting stuff.
It is.
I can't wait to see what the future holds for IAC.
Me too.
Before we move on, I wanted to touch on something else you mentioned in your research, serverless computing.
Ah, yes, server.
Where does IAC fit into that world?
That's a good question.
You know, serverless essentially outsources the management of servers to a cloud provider, right?
Right. You focus on the code, and they handle all that underlying infrastructure, scaling things up or down automatically.
So it's like having this magical server that always provides the resources you need.
You got it.
But if we're not actually managing servers directly, where does IAC come in?
Well, even in a serverless world, you still need to define how your applications are deployed, how they interact with other services, and how they're configured. That's where IAC shines.
I see. So we might not be writing IAC to provision those virtual machines anymore.
Right.
But we're still using it to define and manage that overall architecture of our serverless applications. Okay, that makes sense.
And IAC tools like Terraform, they can be used to deploy serverless functions, configure API gateways, set up event triggers, all sorts of things.
So IAC becomes even more important in this serverless world, not less.
Absolutely. As we move towards these more abstract and managed cloud services, the need for clear, repeatable, automated ways to define and manage our applications becomes even more critical.
Right. It's like we're shifting from managing the bricks and mortar of our infrastructure to designing these blueprints for a self-assembling cloud-native house.
I love that analogy.
Me too.
It's a good one.
And the more we can define those blueprints in code,
you're right,
the more efficient, reliable, and adaptable our applications will become.
Absolutely.
It sounds like there's a whole universe of things to learn and explore within IAC.
Oh, there is, and it's constantly changing.
I know. It's exciting and a little daunting at the same time.
Yeah, but the main thing to remember is that IAC is not just this niche technology for DevOps engineers.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental shift in how we think about and manage technology.
So whether you're a developer, a system administrator, or just someone who wants to understand the future of tech, getting a grasp of IAC is a smart move.
It really is. It's a journey of continuous learning, but the rewards are huge.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
Definitely have.
From IAC fundamentals to those key tools and best practices, and even how it's changing to embrace those emerging technologies like serverless.
Yeah, it's been a good overview.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But now, I want to shift gears and talk about what this all means for you, the listener.
Okay.
You know, you shared some great research with us, so IAC has obviously piqued your interest.
For sure.
What's resonating with you the most from all of this?
Yeah, what's sparking that aha moment for you?
You know, are you thinking about a specific challenge or project where IAC could really make a difference?
Maybe you're picturing automating the deployment of a new web application or streamlining the configuration of a complex database system. Whatever it is, I encourage you to take what you've learned here and just start experimenting.
Yeah.
There are tons of great resources out there.
Definitely.
Most IAC tools have those free tiers you can use to get your feet wet.
Absolutely.
And don't be afraid to start small.
Right.
Maybe try automating a simple task first and then build from there.
Good advice.
And remember, the IAC community is really supportive.
Yeah, they really are.
You'll find forums, online communities, even those local meetups where you can connect with others on the same journey.
Yeah, it's great to have that support system.
It is.
And if you ever get stuck or have a question, don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media.
Yeah, use the show's hashtag.
Exactly.
We love hearing from our listeners.
We do.
And helping them on those IDAC adventures.
Okay, as we wrap up this part of our dive, let's leave you with a final thought.
Right.
IAC is not just about technology.
Right.
It's a mindset.
It is.
A way of thinking about infrastructure as code.
Yeah, it's about embracing the power of code to create those more efficient, reliable, and scalable systems.
Systems that can keep pace with our ever-changing digital world.
Exactly.
We've really covered a lot in this deep dive.
Yeah, we have.
You know, from those IAC fundamentals to all the tools, best practices, even how it's all, you know, evolving with things like serverless.
Definitely a lot to take in.
I think so too. But now I kind of want to bring it all back to you, the listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you shared some fascinating research with us. So clearly this whole IAC thing has piqued your interest.
For sure.
What's really resonating with you from everything we've talked about?
Yeah, like what's that aha moment for you?
Are you maybe thinking about a specific challenge or a project where IAC could really change the game?
You know, maybe you're picturing automating a new web app deployment or even just streamlining that configuration of a complex database.
Right.
Whatever it is, I really encourage you to just take what we've talked about and start experimenting.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's so many resources out there.
Tons.
And most of these tools have free tiers, so you can just dive in and try things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be afraid to start small, maybe automate one simple task,
right,
and build from there.
Good advice.
And remember, the IAC community is really supportive.
They are.
So many forums, online communities, even local meetups, you know,
right,
where you can connect with other people who are on that same journey.
That support system can make such a difference.
It really can.
So, and if you ever hit a roadblock or have any questions, you
know,
don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media using the show's hashtag.
Absolutely. We love hearing from our listeners.
We do.
And helping them with their IAC adventures.
All right. So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's leave you with this final thought.
Okay.
IAC, it's not just about the technology.
Right.
It's really a mindset. It's thinking about infrastructure as code.
It's about embracing code to create those efficient and reliable systems.
Systems that can really keep up with our ever-changing world.
Exactly.
So go out there, explore, experiment, and build your own IAC-powered future.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And until next time, keep learning, keep building, and keep innovating.